found a way to make Huckleberry Finn without actually buying it. Anyway, hey, what's going on? How's it going?
Nothing better than starting a show with a dialogue already in progress.
Oh, yeah, and the show. Oh, yeah, there would have been some major feedback there. Here we go.
Gotta love that.
All right, so we don't want that to play yet. Anyway, so hey, how's it going? This is Dexter Douglas with you. Episode Living in Sin. This is...
Lots.
What episode is this? Slots.
Episode technically,
we'll just go to the date. It's April 2nd, 2005.
Technically episode 5.
Yeah, technically.
Or episode 5 of season 2. Yeah. Right.
Yes. So, April. Anyway, so I'm here with the whole cast of characters. Why don't you please introduce yourselves?
I'm your mom.
Your mom? Okay. Not my mom.
Oh,
someone's
mom.
Sick and demented mom.
I'm your mom, Dexter.
That's not true. That's impossible.
Look at your birth certificate. You know it to be true.
Get anyway, Star Wars away right away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Got to get it in there somewhere.
Anyway, that's the boy for those who don't know his melodious tones.
Melodious?
Melodious?
Okay. Malodorous, perhaps?
Malodorous, yes. It's malodorous stones.
Doesn't smell that bad, jeez.
And you have a recumbent Largo back here on the floor.
And then there's Sanguinist in the comfy chair.
Because I guess it's important to note that we're actually in the Douglas Studios version 3.
Yes,
version 3.0.
The third incarnation.
Beta.
Yeah, this one's still in beta because it doesn't have all my stuff in it yet. But
yeah, we're working on that.
I'm part
so
of the...
it's nice to be back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a bit.
Yeah, it has been.
So all the old shows are up, so you can listen to those. And
except
apparently
the
and they're being well received from
yeah, we're actually getting feedback, man. That's
awesome.
Great.
Awesome.
That's fucking freaky, actually.
Yeah, kinda.
Yes, to discover that you people actually want to listen to us.
Yeah, we're subculture superstars.
Or something.
Or
yeah,
something.
Or something.
But, so as far as our topic goes today, we really don't have one exactly.
Whatever, which is...
And we the big thing is the upcoming appearance by us at Nauticon next week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of exciting. So I thought today we could talk a little bit about surviving cons and...
Con!
First thing is do not ruin him on a planet. And then forget about
it.
Yes.
Yes.
Surviving con.
Or con junior, anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
So we got some Star Trek to go with our Star Wars there.
Yes, exactly.
Star Blazers in there, maybe?
I'll have to work on that. See if we can get the wave motion microphone in.
Nice. All right, so let's get right into the news. I have
news. Wow,
I have a tune for the news. So
oh
it's,
God,
okay. Here we go.
Really enough of that.
I don't even like our rap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not enthused.
No, not enthused at all.
Yeah, right. So let's see what's going on news. Here we go. I got a new story right here and a stack of stuff. This is out of the from the AP, Charlotte, North Carolina. Men arrested for performing surgery. Three men have been arrested on charges of performing castrations on apparently willing participants in a sadomasochistic dungeon in a rural house, authorities said Friday. It's extremely bizarre, District Attorney Michael Bonfay said in a telephone interview. It's incredible the amount of ways people can find or run afoul of the law.
Because Lord knows that's what they had in mind. They were deliberately running afoul of the law.
No,
it wasn't
no,
like
no,
they were getting off on it or anything.
This is castrations. They weren't like flinging ducks at the police building. I don't think they're running afoul of the law.
Blow them out, fire!
Sheriff's investigators said Richard Sierra.
You're going to say Schrodermeyer.
Schrodermeyer, 61. Danny Reeves, 49. And Michael Menendez, of 60 admitted. Oh, he is 60. Admitted performing at least 8 surgeries, including castrations and testicle replacements, on 6 consenting clients over the past year. None of the three are licensed to practice medicine, officials said.
Testicle replacements.
Okay. Yeah. Here's a duck's nut. Really do have balls of brass now.
Down here at the Ball Hut, we can give you whatever you want. You want Michelin?
Balls are us. Bring them up and put them in our face. For you.
We can tell what kind of balls you want by the smell. All suspects, residents of the house in Hayward County, Northern Carolina, where the surgeries were allegedly performed, arrested Thursday. They were being held on $150,000 bond each and could make their first court appearance Monday, Bonpe said. The sheriff's office had investigated reports of sadomasochistic acts in the house in 2004, but concluded there was nothing illegal because the participants appeared to be willing adults.
And let's hear it for being consenting adults under, you know, normal circumstances.
Into the trash.
Even liberal that I am, got to admit, I'm a little shaky on the ball replacement.
That whole dungeon thing.
I'll be honest, though, you know, if somebody really wants to have their nuts chopped out, I mean, it's their own prerogative. I mean, sure, they're kind of fucked up, but, you know.
But, I mean, there are certain public health risks involved.
Yeah,
in it.
Well, you know the risks and still consider to do it anyway.
You can't necessarily throw his old balls in the trash.
Well, no, you just incinerate them.
Yeah, you just incinerate them.
Oh. Here, that you put them in a bowl with a little bit of hot sauce, and there you go. Here you go, buddy. Have some fun.
Put them in the garbage disposal.
No, you cannot put someone's balls in the garbage disposal.
Biohazard.
Yeah, no. You need to incinerate them or something. Well, actually, the other part of the problem is, why do we have this rash of people who have infected crotches? I cut his balls off, and I'm going to use the same knife. Oh, there was something on that.
You want his balls?
And to speak up in defense of the folks who get off on the whole dungeon lifestyle, under normal circumstances, I'm perfectly cool with that.
I'm just, for some reason, this is reminding me of a story several years ago from the lovely state of Pennsylvania about someone else trying to perform castrations. And not doing a lovely job of it out in the middle of the hinterlands. So I'm wondering, what is this deal with? Every once in a while, some people out in the woods decide, you know, I'm bored. What do I want to do today?
I cut my balls off.
I mean, I've used them for everything else I could think of, so I figure I might as well trade them in for something else.
No idea.
And I'm just trying to understand where it's coming from now. Again, the whole idea of, hey, you want to do is whatever you want to do, fine. Just don't get anybody else sick or yourself sick, that's fine.
But yep.
Still just trying to grasp the mindset.
Yeah, I don't know. We got another story. Have we thoroughly exhausted the topic of
nut chopping?
We're done.
I think there's more nut chopping to be had.
Okay, yeah. Well, now there's a story about somebody losing their dickhead.
All right. Losing one's head. Somewhere on a shelf in a cavernous...
Maybe someone else who can speak the English language.
Cavernous warehouse in Alabama. That's a lifelike noggin of Philip K. Dick, quietly dreaming of electric sheep, or maybe the robotic head of legendary sci-fi author got blown up. These are among the possible explanations for the bizarre disappearance of an artist's homepage. Oh, homage to Dick.
Disappearing homepages are a completely different problem.
Yeah,
we had that on April 1st.
Yes, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. This tale.
How many more penis jokes are in there?
This tale should start from the beginning. It's a story as strange as anything PKD ever wrote. A body of work that includes short stories behind the movies Blade Runner, Total Recall, and A Scanner Darkly. It involves naturally a robot, a group of confused humans, and a series of misunderstandings. The head was built by David Hansen, founder of Hansen Robotics, a self-described sculptor robotic. Roboticists. How does that work?
Roboticist?
Roboticist. Yeah, roboticist. That's weird. Who has a degree from the Rhode Island School of Design. I'd like to see the accreditation of the Rhode Island School of Design. And has done some undergrad work in AI, specializing in creating an amazingly realistic robot faces sheathed under rubbery polymer he calls Frubber. The bots have a wide range of facial expressions driven by dozens of tiny servo motors.
Powered by gnomes.
Yes. They make eye contact with passerby through motion tracking machine vision and can engage in complex conversations via AI speech software. They even recognize familiar faces. It was PKD, the author, who drew Hansen to robotics in the first place. Reading books like Valis motivated me to build robots that could help save humans from their own destructive tendencies, he said. The creator of several robots, including the Albert Einstein head for the bot that appeared on the cover of Wired in January, Hansen spent $25,000 of his own money building his hero. Hansen and software developer Andrew Olney studied the author's life and used his novels, particularly We Can Build You, as a blueprint for applying PKD's personality to the robot. The head won first place in a competition sponsored by the American Association for Artificial Intelligence, and the Smithsonian was planning to exhibit this fall. Until December, that is, when Google invited Hansen and Olney to demo the PKD head at a company headquarters in Silicon Valley. Hansen had been traveling for weeks, making two trips to Asia and pulling 15 all-nighters in 40 days. I got on the plane in Dallas at 5 in the morning, and after getting maybe 45 minutes of sleep the night before, he recalls, I stuck the bag containing the robot head in the overhead bin and fell asleep. I didn't even know we were changing planes in Las Vegas. The flight attendant woke me up. I walked off the plane in a fog with the robot head still in the overhead bin. When Hansen arrived at San Francisco Airport, he finally realized he had left his bot behind. Hansen was determined not to lose his head, having already lost Philip K. Dick's. I thought, okay, everything's going to be cool. We're going to find this bag, he says. There's no mistake in this bag. It's got a robot head in it. When you open it, it's just wires and flesh and a bearded dude's face. On the ground, Hansen says, America West officials told him that the plane carrying PKD was en route to Orange County. The crew would look for his robot when it landed. They said PKD had turned up in the Las Vegas airport after all. It was packed in a secure box and would be on the next flight to SFO. The flight landed safely, but the head didn't. Somewhere over the Sierra Nevada, it had vanished. America West officials say they looked everywhere and that the search continues. If the head doesn't reappear, they told Hansen they may consider a happy ending scenario, like sponsoring a new bot.
Happy ending?
No. In the meantime, the head could be resting on warehouse shelves at Alabama salvage company that buys unclaimed... buys items unclaimed in 30 days. Hansen suspects the head was either stolen by unscrupulous baggage handler or fell victim to overzealous security guard who called in a bomb squad. That would really change the ending, Hansen says. If the head of Pillow K. Dick robot wound up being exploded by another robot.
That's vaguely appropriate, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Robot
Tom,
violence.
Tom McNichol wrote this story. Yeah, it's out of Wired. This is great. This is absolutely awesome. Where'd you get this?
My friend Quicksilver gave it to me.
Oh, okay. Alright. Yeah, that's awesome. But, I'm actually gonna keep it.
Yeah, I figured you'd dig that.
Yeah, I
dig that
a lot. I'm a big PKD fan. That's awesome. Let's scan that one in.
Yeah. But yeah, who the fuck is going to steal a robot head?
I would. If I opened that up and saw a robot head, I don't care who it was. It could be Oprah. I'd steal it.
The robot
you'd
head
like
of Oprah.
It to be Oprah, wouldn't
well,
you?
Yeah, sure, you know.
Oh. That's that little robot that's... head.
Oh. Yes. Let's dial up some horny.
Mer?
Huh?
What?
Thudding going on in the background is behind us. Oh, wow. I hope it's the
Death
cute
is watching
goth chick version as opposed to the robe and sickle carrying one.
Oh, come on. He can never get a date. I mean, cut him a break. He's got really clear skin. You got to give him that.
Your skin doesn't get any clearer than that.
No.
That's porcelain, man.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Wow.
Okay, so that was news?
Well, I don't know. I can't verify the authenticity of what I heard because I read it on a message board post. But
if you read it on the internet, it's got to be true.
Causes.
Yes.
What side is that on?
Milk causes cancer.
No clue.
And bread is the greatest threat to human civilization, but not robot civilization.
Well, yes, because robots don't need bread.
No. Well, some of them do.
Really?
That's how we get the baking process. We hand it to them. They need it.
Gotcha. Right. Right. Okay. Makes sense.
Fermented robot.
Now, notice we're vamping for time here while Dex searches.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, you did find it.
Yeah, I did. Mother's milk of all different mammals contains different cocktails of growth factors. These growth factors enhance growth and development in different organs in suckling. Adults consuming whatever milk always absorb those growth factors, too. Cells in adults, however, don't need to multiply that fast anymore. And, of course, cows' milk growth factors are not meant for humans. Besides, stimulating growth of normal cells, growth factors, unfortunately, also stimulate growth of cells that have been damaged by mutagenic substances from prepared foods, polluted air, etc. If DNA RNA has been damaged, this may cause cancer. Preventing cancer is about decreasing the intake of mutagenic substances. Consume as little
proteinaceous foods. Basically avoid everything that isn't a sugar.
Yeah.
Right.
So basically you should just go to the hospital and demand bags and bags and bags of glucose.
Yeah, of blood glucose. I need more blood glucose now because I shouldn't eat anything with proteins in it.
just live on IVs. That includes fruit. Yeah.
You need extra calcium. No, fruits already contain all the calcium you need.
Wow. Huh.
Right. Okay, so yeah, this is further proof of the fact that if you read it on the internet, it must be true.
Oh no, here's one. Way too many people think it's necessary to breastfeed babies for at least the first 1.5 years. And too many people think it's not necessary at all. That's one of the reasons why so many children are fat, have allergies, and behavioral disorders.
Nowadays.
Blink. Now, really?
Blink.
Really?
Blink. Yeah.
Fat, fat, and
formula milk contents do not, and never will, meet mother's milk contents a bit. How dare these people deny their children essential nutrients and growth regulators? A baby is not a play doll and should be offered everything necessary for optimum physical and mental development. No baby asks to be born. Don't consider to do your baby a favor through breastfeeding. It is your duty once you've decided to put your baby on this planet for women to go, "Oh no, my breast will sag," is an absolute turnoff. If mother's milk wasn't essential, you would think nature would have bothered to make animals produce it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, interesting.
Milk causes cancer, man.
Milk causes cancer.
www.13.waisays.com/cancer2.htm.
That's it.
I just find that interesting with my little bit of training in biochemistry. Growth factors.
Your little bit of training.
My little bit of training in biochemistry. Growth factors.
What now? Weapon science?
No, we're not talking.
The government pays enough attention to this show, we don't need to give them other reasons.
Yes, we talk.
Keep waiting for the thought police to crash through the window.
Yeah, no,
window,
I
just come out of the couch and grab you.
I was going through middle of last week on how many government lists am I likely to be on?
You're on quite a few.
Oh, boy. Anyhow. The idea of, okay, growth factors. You know where you can also find these growth factors? In plants. You can also find these growth factors in the water, depending on where you are and what they put in it. So, yes, they're all over the place. Congratulations. Because estrogen is also a growth factor. And pseudoestrogens can be found in plants before pesticides. So, just if you think, hey, I want to eat organic to avoid growth factors because milk causes cancer, says I need to avoid growth factors. Well, yeah, you really just need to go to the hospital and say, I need blood glucose and a hole in my arm. No, really, I'm trying to prevent cancer. Malnutrition, I'm not so concerned about, but cancer, I'm trying to prevent.
The bones of a hummingbird.
All right, that's enough of that.
Yeah,
little,
that's good.
Little,
so that's our news.
Yeah, that's called that.
And since we talked about malnutrition, now we can go to surviving cons.
Good segue. At a convention, you will learn that ramen is your friend
and deviled ass is the enemy.
I'm packing some. I'm taking it.
You know, I've had a can of deviled ass to give you for the last month and a half.
I have.
Yeah, I gave it to him.
Did you know that? The company that makes that is a Westwood or whatever. They make Red Alert.
You don't eat Red Alert.
Red Alert deviled ass.
Is that the spicy version?
Oh, Cajun ass!
No, apparently, that is the oldest held copyright logo in the country.
You're kidding me.
No, and they sue anyone who uses it.
No shit.
Yes. Oh yeah, I read that because I was reading. I was like looking for. I'm like, how protected is this thing? This thing, you know, making a, you know, as like a synthetic mock-up, right? With this, with this little devil, right?
Yeah.
And I looked. It was like, yeah, they sued like 30 companies.
Holy
just
wow!
Straight out of the, shit. Just sued them straight out. It's been copyrighted since like the late 1800s.
Wow.
It's old. It's an old. It's and it's gone through several.
Slight revisions.
Several slight, you know, revisions, but
to, wow, keep, to keep the copyright going.
Yeah. That's bizarre, man. Yeah. That is really freaking weird.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that that was the oldest copyrighted advertising image out
yeah,
there?
Yeah, that's it. That's amazing. It's too bad the meat side. Apparently, Lewis and Clark took that shit with them.
Poor bastards.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
Oh,
but they didn't, it
dysentery.
Wasn't, they've been around. So they've been around forever. I mean, let's go. Let's find out the history of.
Oh yes, yeah, let's. Yes.
Well, there's also just a certain level that I find amusing of the let's copyright Satan.
Keep him in copyright
Underwood,
forever.
Underwood history since 1867. Okay, Underwood's story began more than 170 years ago when an Englishman by the name of William Underwood set up a small condiment business on Boston's Russia Wharf in 1822. Underwood's first product was mustard. Soon, however, he found himself preserving and shipping ketchup, marmalade, cranberries, and pickles all over the world in glass bottles made by early Boston glassmakers. In 1836, however, the small glass shops of Boston could not keep up with Underwood's burgeoning business. Out of necessity, Underwood turned his packaging his product in tin canisters, or as we call them today, cans. Business boom, Underwood canned foods were among staples the pioneers took westward in their covered wagons. Soon, Underwood was adding oysters, lobster, and mackerel to his product list. By the time he died in 1864, Underwood's company was making a fortune selling canned goods to the Unionist government during the Civil War.
And they were canning him.
Around 1868, Underwood's sons began experimenting with new product curated from ground ham blended with special seasoning. They brought the process they dubbed deviling for cooking and preparing the ham was new. And best of all, the taste was unique. Soon thereafter, the Underwood Devil was born in 1870. The Underwood Company granted a patent and is now a world-famous logo. This the advertising shown a little devil began to appear initially as early as 1895. Today, the Underwood Devil is the oldest existing trademark still in use in the United States. Here in the 21st century, Underwood continues to carry its long tradition of quality canned goods. Along with our deviled ham, Underwood's product line today includes our chunky chicken spreads, liverwurst, liver pate, roast beef spread, and sardines. And whenever you enjoy the convenience of our products at home or on the trail, as Americans' early pioneers did, you can be sure that the Underwood brand will always stand for quality and great taste.
Except for the deviled ham, which tastes like ass.
Yeah, I'm taking someone to the cone.
You open that in our fucking hotel room.
I'll be honest with you. And feed it to anyone who comes to the
Okay, if we're using it as a show prop, I'm okay with this.
We'll get a case.
Here's what we need to do is we need to get some of it, and then whenever we go to the parties that occur on Friday and Saturday night, just leave them in random hotel rooms in the drawer next to the Bible.
So basically what you do is it's like a toilet freshener.
It's like the spam trap.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm familiar with this from other things, of just leaving spam lying around for people and see if anybody eats it.
You know, I can actually go for some spam right about now.
That's a really good idea. Some sliced spam. Yeah, I'm hungry all the time.
Honeygram spam. Did you see the Spam-a-lot spam? It's Honey Grail is the name of the and it's got like the Spam-a-lot cast on it. It's like some honey glazed spam that's supposed to be delicious. So
wow.
So hold on to your spam cravings because. Oh. Next week we can get some armored treat though.
I've got it already. We will just make the ultimate cheap meat sandwich. One layer of spam, one layer of treat, with a little deviled between to hold them together.
Maybe
the salt will kill the deviled ass flavor.
Slice the spam down and use it as the bread, and then put chicken and deviled ham in it. It's a meat on meat sandwich.
Would you like to fry it? Kowalski?
Meat.
Hey, Stampy, get the guy a glass of meat. You can make meat shakes.
No, the fridge game
will exist, but we're not making meat shakes. I will spare people that. I'm not that
okay.
Cool.
So anyway, in all seriousness, all that crap that you see at the grocery store that's under a buck, this is the idea is this. you can eat at a con, and every meal should cost you less than $5.
Except for the one meal you will probably end up treating yourself to.
Yes, and go out.
And at the end of the con when you go, oh, I've got money left.
Yes.
Or at the beginning of the con when you meet up with a whole bunch of people and you're going out for sushi.
And the other thing is with... that unlike the anime cons that we've gone to in the past, there is a lot of drinking at hacker cons. So that is another thing to keep in mind is if you need to save cash to go out and buy more alcohol.
Yes.
So there will be much imbibing. And we're going to meet up on Friday with some folks from BinRev, Droops and the gang and everyone else. So that we're going to go out and do that. So come along if you're listening to this and you're going to Nauticon, because I will put a big message on the BinRev boards to listen to the show.
So is this a theory that we posted before the con?
Oh, this is going to get posted today.
Oh, good stuff.
Excellent.
Good stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah. So.
Because I also mentioned on the journal that we were recording a show today and it would be posted. And I'm very excited
about
that.
It's going to go up.
And
so.
If we didn't do a show, there'd be death.
Yes. I said that last week, too, and then I had to go out and kill somebody, and I felt really, really bad about it.
Poor guy.
Well, yeah, but, you know, death's here also, just in case for some reason the show doesn't get posted.
Oh, true. True.
Hey, man.
Hey, what are you doing, man?
Give me back me sight. I love that show so much.
Oh, yeah.
The best Reaper out there.
Now, just a total aside, and this is probably a game line that's going to die horrendously, but WizKids is putting out I don't know if it's later in the year or something. They're doing both Horror Clicks and Toon Clicks, which are basically running on the same system as Hero Clicks are. And in Toon Clicks, they're supposed to have the rights to a bunch of Cartoon Network characters.
Get out
of
here.
So if they give us Grimm, you know well I need to get me a Grimm Click.
They're an exclusive.
Yeah, but the thing of it is like, who
or
would
it could
be
people from Aqua Teen Hunger Force, for all you know. It depends on whoever's popular.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a Dexter and a Mandark. Dexter and a Mandark, arch enemy? Yeah, that'd be great.
So I'm kind of...
Powerpuff Clicks?
I'm cautiously looking forward to this, because this might be enough to actually get me back into buying Clicks.
I'd like some Freakas.
Horror Clicks has a good one.
Oh, yeah, the Horror Clicks exclusive is The Great Cthulhu.
Really?
Yeah, yes. It's Cthulhu.
Is it big?
It's huge. It's like Galactus huge.
Really?
Yeah.
I will look at it after the show.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that is the one thing that's actually I'm considering going into this game is because I can have a Cthulhu.
Does anyone know, and for listeners of the show, you can answer this as well, because I'm too lazy to look it up on Amazon. Is there a large tome collection of Lovecraft?
No, there's several hundred some odd pages omnibuses, but they're not the entirety of everything.
There is no complete Lovecraft.
There's no complete Lovecraft out there, but there's a three volume one that covers pretty much everything, and then like a couple of novellas you have to pick up, or they may have come out with a big tome, but I haven't seen it.
Okay. Because there's a ton of stuff online. There's a ton of stuff.
Well, yeah, he went public domain a couple of years ago, so people have just been posting it.
Right, and I've been gathering that, but I'd like to pick up some actual. So that's good stuff.
Nice actual.
Oh, yeah.
Great to have a nice leather bound volume.
Yeah, something I can carry around, and that would be great. Anyway, so back to surviving a con. Things like
here's a hint for again. Since I've never been to a hacker con, I don't know if this will be so much of a problem there, but at anime cons. Personal hygiene. Yes.
Shower.
Have some, please.
Okay.
All right.
It's 3 days. It's 3 days. And the hotel supply soap, shampoo,
towels.
I know you're going
go ahead.
What I'm saying, it said anime conventions. A lot of people are going, oh, well, why would I want to spend money on a hotel room? It's less money I can spend on swag. I'll just sleep in my car.
Well, there's no swag at a hacker con.
Yeah.
Unless it's just stuff that people just happen to be hawking. So there's no dealer room, so you don't have to worry about that. And secondly, there tend to be hacker chicks at hacker cons, and
they don't like stinky hackers.
Lonely hacker boys.
I don't like to smell like nuts.
Oh, thank you, boy. Thank you.
Well, and the other thing is I don't know that there's
day.
I don't know that there is a... did you say going through Pat on a warm day?
Yes.
Fuck you.
You can't deny where you came from, boy.
Know your roots.
You can tell when it's warm in Pat.
Like roaring spring. Oh, pick up that fart smell of paper mill.
Anyway, Lone Ranger anyway. Boys. And
yeah, anyway, so anyway, but beyond that. Oh, and I got word from Jason Scott. We are doing a Living in Sin live at the con.
Woo!
And we may have a big enough pipe to put it out on the net. So if it goes out onto the net live, you may be able to listen to Living in Sin completely live
freaky.
As it happens.
And hell, if you even drop a phone line or something to get a hold
yeah.
of us there.
Yep. Yeah, we might
and
even be able
have
to
listeners.
Do
it.
Oh my
and
god,
this is gonna be,
that would be so weird.
And this is real equipment, and almost a real radio station.
Yes, as opposed to the tit cat method we're currently using.
If you ever wonder why we sound so bad, it's because we're talking into tin cans with strings. That's why.
And we just have to keep them really tight.
That's why the sound goes out every once in a while. We lean, the can moves, and we're done.
The string gets
God
loose.
God forbid, you know, we break it, and we have to eat another can of Campbell's.
Yeah. There's many a show have I had to scarf down a cold can of Progresso. I was like, keep recording.
But we suffer because you get to listen to us. We suffer.
You. Yes.
We're referencing webcomics today, apparently.
We're referencing fucking everything today.
Yeah, everything, yeah. If you go,
by the way, somethingpositive.net if you want to find before you.
I was going to say before that, we could just we could say we'll give prizes if you can come up with a list of all the references we've made today.
Oh god.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we've got some.
And whoever
coming.
Gets the most. So, and the thing of it is, we don't know how many we actually did. So just make them up. Really long list. And whoever's list is the longest, one, it gives us more shit to look up, and two, you win a prize.
Well, also
you quoted the Bible.
You quoted the Bible.
Well, if anybody actually looked at our site on April Fool's Day,
Jesus wept.
Jesus wept a lot because of Living in Sin on April Fool's Day. And dude, you are so not talking into your mic right now.
I didn't.
You are such a putz.
You guys are doing really well.
I'm using the thumb method. I got a thumb attached to my damn chin to keep the mic stuck to my face.
So at the con, I mean, we're gonna have a chance to get not only like a ton of really cool hackers on the radio on the show, but we also have the opportunity to get.
Say hello, Kit.
Come on in here, Kit. Kit, get
oh,
in here.
Come on.
Get in here.
Come in.
Say hi.
I don't care if you're leaving
just,
or not.
Just say
you're, leaving
hi.
You're leaving forever?
I'm leaving you.
This is Radio First, ladies and gentlemen. I'm getting dumped on the air. Say something to the people, Kit.
Hello, people.
Kit was on the episode 2 of Living in Sin.
Yeah, episode 2,
and
season
which
1.
Is now, which is posted.
Which is now
and
available,
she talked
yes.
about Terry Schiavo and things of the such. Where are you going? What are you doing?
I'm going to get groceries.
You're going to get groceries?
Spam! Get the spam!
Yeah,
get
some spam.
Spam and...
Or Armor Treat, whichever one.
Get Armor Treat, because it's only 99 cents. Get Armor Treat.
I thought we were going to try the golden...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Get the... It's Honey Grail or something
it's
like
some
that.
Some kind of spam a lot
meat.
Shit.
Yeah.
Cheap canned meat.
It's real cheap. Anything else?
She's like, let me go.
And she's like, let me leave.
Something to drink, probably.
Oh, yeah, we're going to go. We're going to go do that, actually. We're going to go. Yeah.
Okay.
So... You can if you want. If you're back by the time we're done.
Yeah. By the way, nothing like bad radio talking about our plans for after the show on the air.
Yeah.
We're all going to go out to eat after.
So,
we're
so
done
anyway,
with
so
the
goodbye,
show.
Feel free to come
Kit.
With us.
Yeah.
If you can teleport to Pennsylvania and travel through time to get here on Sunday afternoon, please feel free to come out and eat with us.
Yeah, and let us know that that's the reason why you did it because then we're going to ask you if you can lend us this time travel machine because.
There are things that we need fixed.
You
loan us that big blue police box.
We need to. If you have a time,
loan us the police box, please.
Yeah, we have some things we'd like you to. Putting your thumb on your chin is perfect.
Yeah, because it's just the right distance from your mouth.
Yeah, that's no wonder Eddie Vedder does this.
Eddie Vedder does this?
Yeah, I saw a video Eddie Vedder did that once.
Really?
He might have just been really tired.
Well, I'm going to try this.
Oh, speaking of which, have you heard the new Pearl Jam song?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's kind of good. We'll listen to it after the show.
Okay.
Anyway.
So
and
surviving
for the herd.
And the next thing for surviving cons, nobody will stay on topic.
Oh, wow.
That's the other.
Does
yeah.
anybody out there honestly ever expect us to stay on topic?
No. And what's different with this con, as opposed to other cons, is that this is contained in the hotel that you're staying in.
So it's not like all over God's
And it's
creation.
Not gigantic. It's not huge. The Baltimore Convention Center is what? One of the biggest convention centers in the United States, right? Yeah, and they take over huge chunks of this convention center.
And
so, and the other thing is if you take your notebook, please make sure you don't have anything on it that you don't want anybody to, because it's pretty much open domain.
That's why I'll be taking a game board.
Notebook computer. Laptop computer.
He was thinking sketchbook.
You. Yeah.
I understand now.
Just be. I actually have a laptop specifically for
the con.
Cons. That is just a vanilla install.
With Word.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I have.
I'm probably going to have to borrow your laptop because I'm still going to have homework that I'll need to do.
That's fine.
Still taking those goddamned classes.
I mean,
they're almost over.
One thing I will miss about Otakon. All the eye candy.
Oh, yes. The prepubescent girls in lingerie.
There's not going to be.
Not even them. I mean, like, the
that
full-bloomed women in the...
Yeah, because that was sarcasm, by the way, folks. I'm not Phobos.
There's no... not Phobos. There's no cosplay.
Which is sad.
There is a talent show, which I'm looking very forward to seeing.
I actually tried to think of something we could do on the talent show, but really... We got nothing.
Play our twangers.
We could bang our twangers.
Yeah. And bounce
she broke
balls
my fucking instrument.
You could blow my flute.
I blew his all last night. Not me personally. I'm just quoting the skit.
You could bang my maracas.
Yes, quite a skit.
Anyway.
One skin.
Two skin.
Three skin. Four.
Hey!
I can't get it in. I got it in last night.
Let's try it the other way.
You don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Come on, we gotta give the man.
Yeah, you name that reference. No,
okay, you name that reference. You get a prize.
Yeah, we will give
and
you.
By the
a
way,
prize.
Apologies once again to Captain Kitty because Dex is a slack ass and still hasn't sent out your prize.
Oh yeah, your prize is coming,
or 2 months ago, or however
freaking
long ago.
And it kicks ass. It's a good prize.
He's
damn
lying.
Prize.
He doesn't
I get
even
it signed.
Know what it is.
Actually, if you want, if you're willing to wait till next week, I can get it signed for you by the creator of it, and then send it to you.
Let's put it this way: whether he wants to wait for it or not, you're the one in control here. So
this is true.
Guess what? You're waiting for it. The prize
you're waiting
will be improved.
For it. I'm gonna have Jason sign it, so you'll be that'll actually be worth something. I guess.
Yeah. If we see it on eBay next week,
I won't hunt you down and kill you.
You
and your entire family. No.
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 We'll send the raccoon to find
you. Okay, so food that works at the con. Peanut butter and jelly.
Always good.
Canned meats.
Always good.
Should we take the hot plate?
Oh, that's a good question.
Don't drop the hot plate on the carpet.
Yeah, don't take the... Funny story.
We were at a con.
We were staying at the Benjamin Franklin in downtown Baltimore, which is like the scariest fucking hotel you've ever stayed in. I mean, this place was bad. The cockroaches carried gats, man.
Hey, man. Hey, man, you want to eat that? You better give it to me, man. I bust a cap in your ass.
Anyway, we took the hot plate.
So we took
hot
plate, and we were cooking food.
Macaroni and cheese.
I bumped macaroni and cheese, actually. And we bumped the hot plate, and I bumped the hot plate, and it fell down. Hot plate first
down.
On the
butter side down.
Hot right. side down onto the carpet and burnt rings into the carpet. I flipped out.
Terribly. It just,
no,
it,
just, yeah.
It deformed them.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't quite super hot. It was cooling down.
I flipped out. I went out to find a maid. I thought, shit, we're going to lose our deposit. We didn't have a deposit. We're going to get charged for it. So I went out and found the maid or whatever and brought her in and said, you know, we're sorry this happened. And she goes,
I've seen worse than that.
So, and the charge is never. Yeah, so if you're going to use things that are hot,
be careful.
Stabilize
them.
Be careful with them.
Or do it on, say, tile.
Do I even know where the hell the hot plate is? Because we haven't used
porch.
It since then.
We'll have to
really?
Do lots.
Yeah.
Now, here's my question. These tables fold.
Yeah.
And they fold in half. And they have a handle.
Oh.
And you could carry them like a suitcase. Do I want to take a table?
For the drink-a-thon?
Just in case, you know, if we decide, if we end up being...
Let's put it this way. We can take it, and if we don't use it, that just means it sits in my trunk. So
that's the other question is... Well, I guess we'll talk about this later.
Yeah,
we're not going to discuss our plans. So anyway, we might take a folding table if we decide, because we might very well have a party turn into our hotel room. We might just go.
Are we doing the fridge game for sure?
Do we want to do the refrigerator game?
What's the refrigerator game?
The refrigerator game. For those who have never played it, this is a creation of my buddy Hot Rod. We used to play this back when we were just wee youngins. But what we have is the contents of a refrigerator. You are allowed to look at said contents and select two items that are absolutely, positively not allowed to be put into this concoction. Then, crack team of experts will, from the remaining items, make a concoction that you must either hold in your mouth for 30 seconds or swallow one mouthful of. You didn't really win anything, but...
you won the bragging rights. Yeah. And the knowledge that, yes, you can eat anything when the world ends.
But I'm thinking for the con, we could do it...
It'll be a play on the drinking, or the drink concoction
and
thing.
And basically, we have some prizes to give away. And screw this hold it in your mouth for 30 seconds crap. You need to swallow X amount without throwing up. We'll have a garbage
The only thing that makes you nervous about that is vomiting in a hotel. I'd like to sleep.
Well, no, we'll just at the actual... You know,
do this during our show.
Yeah, and have a garbage can right next to the table. Big one. It'll make great radio.
I don't have anything to give away. That's,
we'll
talk about this.
So,
oh my God, what happened?
Your monitor turned off because...
Oh no!
Oh God, we're dead! Our chamber turned on!
No! We've lost the show!
No, this show is
this
gone.
This is the most verbose I've been in quite some time.
Yes, it is.
We had to deal with God all morning.
The elimination. Like,
you and God had a discussion.
It didn't go so well.
But I got a rap out of it. So,
so take a cooler. Yeah, and if you want to go out and eat all the time, then you must be a rich man. And you apparently,
seriously, bring
you apparently
a box
like
of
missing
goodies.
Things.
See, I'm assuming that it won't be so bad in... Where are we at? We in Cleveland?
Yeah, I think we're in Cleveland.
Yeah. It may not be Cleveland. As cost prohibitive as Baltimore was.
Because Baltimore was...
Going out
in
Baltimore
a bunch
was a bit on the pricey side.
So we hit the bar with our cousin.
Yeah.
And well, how much was that, the Charlie Brown you had?
We're in Cleveland. It was like $13 or something for a hamburger.
Yeah.
It was a big hamburger, but...
You ate it all, and the guy almost blew a nut. He's like, dude, you ate that and the fries? Holy crap!
I get that a lot, actually. Because we went to Perkins after seeing V for Vendetta, and I got two breakfasts. And the waitress was like, damn, you actually ate both of them.
Well, don't forget that then, you know, you and I traded off on being the garbage disposal on everyone else's food.
Yes.
You want to eat this? Sure. You want to eat this? Sure.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay until it gets dark outside, and I get that way. I'm, like, ravagingly hungry when it gets dark. I don't know what
you're
I'm
a raccoon.
You wear appetite. Yes. When the moon is full, my stomach
cannot be satisfied.
Feed me, Dexter.
Should we bring the raccoon suit?
No.
They should take the head.
Take the raccoon head. Yeah.
Just don't lose it. Because you never can tell.
That's fine.
What's that?
You never can tell. If you lose the raccoon head, you might wind up with the robotic head of Philip K.
Yeah. We could trade it for the robotic head of Philip K. Dick. Because if a robotic head of Philip K. Dick is going to show up anywhere, it may very well be a hacker.
Very true. And because we all need a Philip K. Dick head.
Giving me a new idea is like handing a cretin a gun. But I think you will be out. Bang, bang.
Okay, so back to surviving a con.
Yeah, so you just want to pack in your own things. Oh, and as far as it costs $3. $3 to go to your local Walmart, Kmart, what have you, and pick up one of these kits that has... Just some basic emergency first aid things, because you never know when you will get drunk and hit your head in the side of something drastic. And
not like we've ever done that. No.
No. Never. So, just some basic...
Just stand in the shower. You'll be fine.
Dizzy!
No, you're good. It's just you're tired. Lay down and take a nap.
It's just you're tired. Oh, here, let me move the arm from around your feet. Okay.
Keep your head above water. Wow. So
emergency first aid, lots of cheap ass foods because you'll
granola
need them.
Bars,
lots to drink
and lots to
stay
drink.
Stay hydrated.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Not just soda. Get some fruit juice in there.
Yeah, get some water.
Water.
Yeah.
Water. What a concept. Yeah. Water.
Don't trust the hotel's water. Bring your own.
I always bring my own. And I figure, and it's tough because you figure a gallon per person per day, but 16 ounces per person per day will do you just fine. So
it just, I mean, and it's not like you need to do. You can mix it up and match it.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'll probably just take a gallon of water. I'll take a gallon jug of water.
I'll take more than a gallon, but
you know, or whatever. Or each of us take a gallon jug, you know, or whatever. And you know, they do. You do have ice machines, but we're not in Mexico or anything, so I guess it's okay to use the ice.
No, I have been to Cleveland. It's okay to drink the water.
Is it okay to drink the water in Cleveland?
Is it okay to drink the water in Cleveland?
Good.
Well, then I guess we can scrap taking the water.
Yeah, good. That's one less thing we have to carry.
More space for food.
Yeah, more space for food.
Food and other fluids.
As far as technology and stuff goes, you know, yeah, like I said, I have a laptop that I use only for cons. And it's, like I said, it's got a vanilla install on it, and I'm not afraid to lose anything on it or lose a laptop if I let it sit somewhere. I don't care. So,
well, other than advertise that so much because, like, oh, he doesn't want his laptop.
Steal Dexter's laptop. Pimp Dexter's
laptop. Dexter's laptop. How many files that aren't supposed to be here can we put on here?
Yeah.
Blacklist.
This belongs to Dexter Douglas. Let me mail it to the FBI.
Full of kitty porn.
Phobos. Damn you.
So that we put Phobos on the show and have him defend himself. Yeah,
so
right.
Thing is, if we got him on here, we'd actually have callers going, so, do you really like little girls? And he'd just flip out.
Then he would go, I'd do it if you drive me to Honduras.
Right.
And I did say drive.
Drive you to Honduras.
We'll take that one. Come on, let's go.
You're on your lunch break. You'll be back in plenty of time to finish your sandwich.
Oh, God. Yes, folks, he really is that stupid.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, pretty much surviving and have fun. You know, that's...
That's the primary rule, obviously. If you're dropping the amount of... I mean, it's not like this is going to be the most expensive con we've ever gone to by a long shot.
No. This is cheap.
But this is still... We're putting out more money than... in my own personal case, I can say more money than I can actually comfortably afford to. But I'm doing it anyway because it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So I'm dropping this money. I'm going out. By God, I am going to have some fucking fun
Weekend.
I'll buy you some sushi. Although all I got is my chunka-chunka card.
So that's all I got. This is going to be a plastic expenditure.
Yeah, that's pretty much what mine's going to be, too. So.
Plastic man.
Whoa. Plastic all around.
Yes, but again, I'm doing this because, well, first and foremost, I really dig doing this show.
Yeah.
So doing this show with actual other human beings around is going to be fun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm too confused with the zombie vampires and witches.
Well, actually, I've known a witch or two that...
you wouldn't mind having around the show.
Not at all.
Yes. Yes, as you can
warlocks, I'm sorry.
I
warlocks.
Need my new dose of brains.
I think we have some down in the fridge. Do you want to microwave them first or chill?
Wait. Soda, OJ, purple stuff.
Brains!
Oh, look, Sonny. Oh, brains!
They're great!
So the Kool-Aid man, you get like the zombie man.
Oh!
You got to fix that wall, zombie man.
Monster!
You know, just out of curiosity, I've heard about this, but I've not actually looked for it. Zombie porn?
It exists.
Zombie porn?
What is the name of that one? Oh, God. I haven't seen it, but it... Okay. Just to recap and refresh for everyone, I enjoy The Living Dead in every flavor possible.
Arrow in the head news. I'm sorry.
Arrow in the head news. Okay. So, yes, this is the only reason why someone's told me, oh, there's zombie porn out there. You might want to look at it. I mean, I've watched BioZombie. let me go. So, if it's related to zombies.
Actually, let's clarify that. Because you've also watched House of the Dead.
Yes, I watched House of the Dead.
And so, really, I mean, saying Biozombie was bad. House of the Dead.
God.
All right, here we go.
Ostensibly the worst zombie movie ever made.
Zombie porn. Like most lucrative sex films, Burial Ground, which was a film made in Italy in 1980, delivers what it says it will deliver. No more, no less. Exposition, characterization, style, all those unwelcome extras are simply getting in the way of the good stuff. We are kept to a sheer minimum. To the delight of gorehounds who always half expect a dud, Burial Ground thoroughly packs a running with time hardcore cannibal zombie mayhem. And though this may seem like repetitive, tacky stage, and derivative to some, at least it's there in quantity. The movie takes no concessions or aficionados in the cinema of the cinema, choosing instead to fill the needs of the true grassroots horror fans who take their carnage straight. Burial Grounds has its priorities in line.
Where do we get to the porn portion of the zombie?
I don't know. Zombie fetish? Human voice. Oh, ah, harder, harder. Ah, oh, oh, ah, 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 oh, honey, please. Ah, oh, man's voice. Hold on, darling, let me try another way. Woman's voice. Oh, ah, oh, ah, I can't stand it. Oh, oh, God, Mark. Oh, no. Author's note. Turns out Bernici is a man. put it bluntly, Andrea Bellucci seems quite literally to orgasm over zombies and zombie violence. Either this or Bellucci assumes that his intended audience orgasm for zombies. Yeah, so basically if you blow your load on zombies, you want to see the movie Burial Ground.
Okay then. So don't ask me why people keep talking about zombie porn around us, but
oh, and this
it's
is
come up on
awesome.
Several occasions.
Well, awesome. Yes, it has.
This fucking domain name, how awesome a domain name is this? Stomp Tokyo. I wish I fucking own Stomp Tokyo. Damn it! Good ones are taken. Synthetic is gay.
It is?
Well, yeah. We've had some talks, and he kind of decided that...
Synthetica came out of the closet.
Yeah, she did. Synthetica is a fickle woman. Anyway. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, all right. So we've hit zombie porn. We've covered the cons.
Yeah, how to survive cons.
Milk causes cancer. What else is up?
Well, we made our obligatory Star Wars reference right out of the gate, so
we're
good.
Yeah, and we managed to slide in.
So let's talk about what's going on at the con.
Sucks.
How about that?
I don't even know what's all going on at the con.
Neither do I.
What were we giggling about at school board?
So, 1 o'clock.
I don't even know what's going on at the con. And I'm like, neither do I.
Okay. So, let's see. Games and events. Anything but Ethernet. Okay. Wait. Don't phone me.
Burr.
Nauticon Talentless Talent Show. Nauticon Scavenger Hunt. Okay, let's just look at the schedule here. Okay, so 1 o'clock on Friday is the opening ceremony.
Well, actually, what we should mention is the one or two things that we are confirmed to be at.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we are... Well, we're not confirmed to be at anything.
Dude, you just told me we were confirmed to be at two things.
What?
Wasn't it the one panel one of us might be on?
Oh, no. I don't think any... Well, I don't know that any of us are on. I don't know yet. I don't know that for certain. But the hacker media... Where's that at?
Not on there.
They don't like us.
Use the force, Dex.
Yeah, it doesn't exist.
Use the mouse, Dex.
Oh, yeah. Jason Scott's talk is called Your Moment of Audio Zen, A History of Podcasts.
Okay.
I'm sure Living in Sin will not be mentioned.
Probably not.
No.
We're not cool enough.
We're not Zen-like.
The Great Failure of Wikipedia.
Is he doing that one, too?
Yeah. There's a failure in Wikipedia.
Oh, Jason Scott has had some big issues with Wikipedia.
Yeah, I can understand entirely.
Okay, no, it's... Let's see, where's it at?
Yeah, there's the Hacker Media
panel. Hacker Media panel. Let's take a look at this.
8 o'clock on Saturday.
8 a.m. or 8 p.m.?
I didn't get a good look.
8 p.m. on Saturday.
Oh, good.
This panel will discuss the hacker influence on web-based media, specifically through the forum of podcasts and the IPTV. It will cover current trends in hacker media, possible futures, as well as advice for creating your own hacker media. Jason Scott is a guy who will modify the panel. Pony Boy, our host of Belcourt Radio, and they're going to talk about it. Jupes is going to talk about it. Low Tech Mystic is going to talk. And Drew is on it. So I'm sure we can get involved with this somehow.
If we want to do it.
How to survive a federal investigation.
Yeah, how to survive.
Oh, that could be useful.
Topics included. Let's just go through the topic list here. Okay.
I better go to the how to survive a federal.
Okay, so here we go. So we got on Friday. Here's what's going on Friday. We've got Eric Meyer giving a talk about a decade of style. What is that about? Presentation looks at the history of the role of internet exchanges. Oh, wait, that's the wrong one. Look back on 10 years of CSS and glance forward to things are heading us. So that's cascading style sheets. So that's web design stuff. Introduction to Microsoft System Management Servers, Internet Exchanges Enabling Online Communities, The Spore, Share Place Open Resource Ecology, Producing Music on a Shoestring Budget, Make Your Own Linux, a Go workshop, which is Why Your Computer Really Sucks, Learn to Play Go.
I've always wanted to learn how to play.
An opportunity to learn the basics of Go and play a few games. Boards and stones will be provided along with printed information about the game.
I have a board and stones.
Hikaru fanboy will be on. Will Hikaru fanboys will be dealt with appropriately. This means you and us.
Mark.
I don't know. Something about fanboys. Okay, so learn how to play Go. Kryptos and the Da Vinci Code. Blended Threat Management, Your Moment of Audio Zen, History of Podcasts, A Reintroduction to Photography, How Microsoft is going to die, and it's not Linux, The Temporary Autonomous Zone.
Could you go back to the photography one real quick?
Yeah, Reintroduction to Photography. Last year I spent an hour trying to convey some basic terminology and technique about photography. I'll be back to revisit the same topics again and cover a bit more this time, jargon-laden concepts such as ISO, f-stop, exposure, focal length, and sensor size. I will present examples of picture framing, lighting, and using a flash. Finally, other round questions about photography will be included.
Okay, well, I got to hit that one then.
Yeah, Jeff Gokey Smith is doing that one. Wait, don't pwn me. Let's see. Oh, man. Okay. Ever notice how hacker trivia contests seem to be dominated by the same three people every year? NFF got really sick of it and decided to just go ahead and put these people up on stage so they could win you t-shirts and prizes. All you have to do is hope they're right. Great. So Saturday we've got Hacking the Research Community, The Rise and Fall of Payphones, The Evolution of Freaking, How to Survive a Federal Investigation, Hacking Hops, How to Brew Your Own Beer, Great Failure, Wikipedia, Patch Management and Windows Environment, Locksmithing Basics, 5-Minute Photoshop Techniques, Life in a Help Desk, oh fuck, I could give lots of stories about that, Haji Nets, Running an ISP in a War Zone, Building Communities in Self-Destructive Environments, Hacking Gender, Strategies for Inclusion and Change, Hacks for Humanity, Stupid Media Tricks, Which Will Kill Us at First, The Blue Flu, The Bird Flu, or Janet Jackson's Nipple. Now, this is one you have to go to, because this is being put on by Drew Curtis. And Drew Curtis is the guy who started FARC. FARC News is amazing.
And it just sounds like a really good...
Yeah, that sounds like a good talk. Mobile Honeypots, How to Catch a Laptop Thief, Network Printer Hacking, Font Making Fun, Hacker Media Panel, which we will be attending, Party Like It's Going Out of Style. What's that one? Oh, that's actually partying. Yeah, it's a talent show. And Jason Scott's Memdom. Is it meme or mem?
Meme.
Okay. Jason Scott reprises crowd-pleasing collage of video clips, flash movies, and other foolishness from the past year and beyond. You never know what to expect. Expect that you will be amazed, entertaining, and laughing by the time it's done.
We need to see that one.
Yeah, we're going to that one. After last year's success, the community will be able to come together again on Otacon Radio, which we will be participating in. Sunday, okay, security audits using Linux Live CDs. Everything I needed to know from reading other people's t-shirts. How the ILECs have fucked up the ISP industry. Why your computer guy sucks. Encryption for programmers. Ricing out your Linux box. And closing ceremonies. Get the hell out. So it should be fun.
Sunday doesn't sound like it's got too much going on.
No,
the thing is they're keeping the time starts for everything fairly late in the afternoon. I don't think I saw anything starting before 1.
Right? Was it really? Let me take a look.
Seriously,
1 o'clock Friday, 11 o'clock Saturday till 10. It's over at 10 o'clock. And Sunday, 11 o'clock till 2, and that's it. I mean,
excellent. So it's not bad time-wise. It's not like, oh, yeah, by the way, so-and-so is starting at 7 in the morning.
And there's not a lot of stuff that's conflicting. I mean, yeah, there are things that are conflicting, but they're not, it's not huge.
It's not like Otakon, where we actually had, say, the two panels we wanted to go to, and they were both running concurrently.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a little bit of editing for everybody here. I've been playing The Clash the whole time.
Okay. Because
it's playing very, very quietly.
For the record, we can't hear a damn thing out here. Yeah, we don't have our headphones
trying,
on.
Because actually, in order to fix the problem with the low volume, I'm the only one wearing headphones, and I'm losing my hearing because I'm doing it. But I'm hoping that it helps us keep the volume up.
And we will hopefully be getting new equipment that will handle that problem.
Yes, and we're getting some stuff that'll take care of that.
So, can we, because it just occurred to me, I talked about the fact that we went to see V for Vendetta. We could actually talk about it for a minute or three.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's talk about V for Vendetta.
Other than good?
Good. Real good. Whole lot of good. Big, steeping piles of good. Now, okay, Dex has that look on his face.
That's the Dex. Well, I really didn't like The Matrix.
I hated The Matrix for years. For years.
Yet you went out and got it anyway.
And I got the whole fucking big thing, gave it another go. And it's all right.
Does this mean we need to take you to CV for Vendetta again?
Or wait a couple of years and give them a DVD or something? I think I need to see it again because... Okay. The movie is... Go ahead and give your pieces, then I'll give mine.
First of all, my big thing is... First of all, it's politically... Realizing that this is based on a comic that is anywhere from 18 to 20-some years old, because it ran for like 8 years in a serialized format in two different magazines in Britain. The fact that they didn't really do a whole lot to update it. I mean, there was a little bit of a tweak. The big thing was actually the big impetus for the totalitarian state in the comic book was a nuclear incident, whereas it was bioterrorism in the film. But it stands up so well because the truths that it talks about are still true. The government that it was criticizing then was Margaret Thatcher's run as PM in Britain, but ties so nicely into Bush's America. And beyond the political aspects, it's a beautifully lensed film. My God, is it beautiful. It is just poetry to watch.
That's the thing that got me. There were a lot of scenes that were taken directly out of the graphic novel. Like the scene where V is in what's-her-name's bedroom.
Yeah, that's
he's standing against the wall, and that you just see the light come across, and see his
yeah,
it's right out of the graphic novel.
Yeah, and so. There are huge heaping tracts of dialogue that are lifted directly out of there too.
Yeah,
and like I said, it's beautiful to watch, and moreover, to start with on the acting bit, Natalie Portman gives the best performance I've ever seen her give in this film. And it's a damn shame that she's completely overshadowed by Hugo Weaving. Because, you know, the fact that you cannot see his face and his performance is entirely all vocal inflections and little bits of body language. And he just does it a masterful job. I mean, my God.
Yeah, it was brilliant in that sense. And in a lot of ways, I really liked it because a lot of the writing was a hell of a lot better, frankly, than what's in the graphic novel. which is...
Well, I'm only reading the graphic novel for the first time right now.
Oh, you hadn't read it before?
I'm about.
No,
I haven't seen
anything to deal with it.
Yeah, I'm about.
You haven't seen anything? You hadn't read it?
No, I hadn't touched this graphic novel at all.
Oh, so am I the only one who's read the graphic novel before seeing the
movie?
Seems
that way. Sparky had, but yeah. Well, we're not going to talk about Sparky right now.
Yeah.
But I'm about a third of the way through it right now. So
it's good.
Yeah, it's
damn good. I guess the only problems that I had, keep talking because I'm changing my opinion now that I've actually thought about it.
Oh yeah, because there's also the horrendous problem of you were a zombie when you went to see it. You had
this
slept.
Is true. I was exhausted. I hadn't slept.
And you had to go to work.
And I had to go to work in a couple hours, and.
Yeah, you were more than a touch out of it when
yeah,
we
was.
All gathered.
Yeah, I was. I was really not
you were
there.
Like, tacos
I was not there.
Good.
Yeah, it was. It was.
You got there first. I got there, and it was definitely coming off of you going. Shiny lights are nice. Shiny lights are hot. Okay, we're just gonna wait and see.
Yeah,
what
I was
the next
really,
person
I was really tired, and but no, I just I thought the action sequences were graceful, though I didn't need them. I thought that it was, if anything would have put the movie over the edge, it would have been the action sequences. Because in the graphic novel, it's not a lot of panels of.
Yeah, usually so far the violence is quick and
yeah,
brutal
it just
and
boom
fun.
Done. Yeah, it gets back to the story. And this, it didn't do that a lot in this, but there were a lot of scenes where he just, they really went through. They did, it was dialogue, good dialogue, good dialogue, good dialogue. Okay, now we're going to show off some cinematics and make a fight scene.
But I don't think that they overdid it.
I don't think it was overdone.
The only fight that actually had any real anything that could be considered overdoing it was the final one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of the one that is sticking out for me more than seeing the trails of the daggers.
The light trails off the daggers.
Yeah, and I had a hard time with that because that, I don't know, it did a really good job in giving a great nod to really sticking to the source material. But then again, in that, it was just like, yeah, well, by the way, Andy and Larry Wachowski worked on it.
The one Matrix moment.
Yeah.
But I was okay with that because thematically, here is the crescendo. Here is his last stand. So it should look, it should be special. It should be something.
Yeah, I understand that. But in the same respects, I've always found that like good fight scenes in, like Batman fight scenes are just as dramatic, but they don't show you anything. They just show you bits.
The very choppy, very almost in the middle of the fights from Batman Begins.
Yes.
Is that
that kind of stuff, and even the parts where it would be like it's very dark. So in that scene was a very dark scene, and like in the way that Batman would come in and be some dialogue, he would clean up, and you would see the parts that were key to the fight, and then the fight would be over. In this, you saw it moving and the picking up, and this, you know, and I just that just really got me for something that was, and it shows the grace of both mentally and physically of V, but I just wanted to see that almost noir kind of fight scene. You know what I mean? There's just like there's a grace to it, but it's a grace that you just don't see. Just like you really can't approach V as what he really is because he won't let you. In the same way that it was just like they didn't express that through motions. Does that make sense? I mean, is that
I can see where you're coming from on that, and
that's just because
I've
read the books before I saw it.
Wrong because you're obviously entitled to your opinion,
right.
Having seen the film fresh without having read the graphic novel first, I can look at it from the sense of, okay, this is our one balletic poetic.
Yeah. Yeah, and you needed moments. Here's the part where he finally gets to stomp the shit out of everybody. And that's fine. And then again, you have to remind yourself that it is cinema.
Yes,
and
very much so.
And that's where, you know.
It's the playing off the, if you don't kill me by the time you run out of bullets,
you're all dead.
And you actually got the hurried sense of them trying to reload. And if they showed it in the time it was taking to reload your damn gun, it would have been done. And you'd have seen nothing.
Right.
Yeah, you would have just had flat, boom, boom, dead. Okay, what happened?
You would have seen some flashes, and you know. But then again, I like that a lot.
Because the way they were standing, and I thought of the first Ninja Turtles flick, and I don't know why that came up, but there's a lot of fight scenes in that movie where you don't see them. But it's implied there's a lot of ass kicking going on, and I love that for some reason. I love being left to that. And there are a lot of good samurai movies, not so much Kurosawa, but some that it just implied that there's
because we didn't have special effects at
right
the time.
Oh no, I'm just saying, but I love that, and I was kind of expecting that, and I was expecting that going in because the way that the graphic novel is, well, first of all, it's not showing its age, but it's done. There's nothing fancy about the coloring of the art.
Yeah, it's very plain. I don't want to say plain art because the art is nice.
Oh, it's incredible.
It's very. It's definitely a product of its time.
Yeah.
It does not have the fancy computer coloring. It does not have image style art.
And that's why it's amazing. That's why it's a great story. And I think if it was rewritten now and redone as a graphic novel now, I don't think it would carry its same weight because, frankly, I got a lot of Orwellian. You know, that if I were to picture a 1984 graphic novel, I would have pictured it very much. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of black in that.
Very
you know what
much.
I mean? There's a lot of black. And I really there's a lot of black in the movie, too, and I really dug that.
Okay, other thoughts?
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to go, I mean, as I pointed out, my only complaint in the movie was in that fight scene. And of course, my complaint was just purely special effects level. That blood was moving wrong. It was not moving.
Yeah, it looked like Star Trek blood, where it was kind of like pudding.
It was moving at the wrong speed for the rest of the action. First off, if you're cutting arteries, it sprays, not splashes. Secondly, as fast as V's moving, it's barely spraying. It's not going, I just opened up a pint of blood and decided to throw it in the air. No, no, no. It's one of those, hey, there's a little bit of mist, and he's already on killing the next guy. Right. That was my one complaint about the entire movie, was in that combat.
And the fact that you have one complaint about the film.
That's my one complaint about the film, which for me is rare to have one complaint about a film
that is realistically that minor.
Yeah. So, you know, I really did enjoy the movie. And just also on the level of, okay, let's just have that whole moment of, if a populace wakes up one morning and goes, no, it will work. It's just a matter of having the entire populace wake up one morning and go.
Have them all wake up at one time.
And I had... I had problems, a little, some problems. I love to hate movies. If you know me at all, I love to hate them. I love movies. I love to see movies. I love to talk about movies, but I love to hate them.
Loves to bitch about them.
It's not so much bitching. I do love them. I love the movie. I absolutely love them. If I didn't love it, I wouldn't be sitting here talking about it. The scene where everybody comes out and they're all dressed and the whole thing. I felt that seemed really disconnected to me. That seemed too clean for what that scene was. I mean,
really?
Yeah, you're having a people who are mobilizing, and when you have people who are mobilizing, like a good example is the stuff that happened in Paris this week. You have the group of people who are involved because they want to change. You have a group of people who are anarchists, basically, and are going to fuck shit up, and that's basically what they're here to do. And then you have the group of people who are just like checking it out because something's going on. Oh, let's go look. You know, some people walking. Let's go see what they're doing. So you have this group, and in this you had like this one mass mindset of everybody's like, fuck this. We're all wearing all this stuff, and we're gonna, you know, wearing the masks and the hats and stuff.
To be honest,
you know,
though, to look at it from the other perspective is they were all brain fucked to begin with. They were
all one mind anyhow.
Well, and also you throw the last bit in of the British queuing system that everybody just moves in a line.
That's the other thing you have to remember. This is yeah. I'm British. I know how to queue.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, and I just felt a little. Unattached. Being a big fan of protests and people gathering that I am, you know, let's go out, not a who streets our streets kind of thing.
Even taking it from your perspective there though, everybody had access to the masks and everybody had access to the cloaks because he sent them out.
If
half of them just showed up to see what was going to happen,
right? Which is why I thought they were going to go that way.
So that way they wouldn't be seen to know who the hell they were.
Right. With the scene where the guys. Robbing the convenience store.
Yeah.
I thought, that's it. This is exactly it. You're going to put people behind masks. You're going to have anarcho motherfuckers slipping shit over, setting on fire, and people following them, but people are going to make a stand. And even that guy robbing the convenience store in and of itself was a stand. And I love that. I love that. Anarcho in the UK, and he shoots his gun and he runs out of the store. I fucking love that scene. That was great. And I really thought there was going to be some more of that. And towards the end, when people finally start showing up at the, you know, now, granted, it's kind of the same way in the graphic novel, but I just thought maybe they would take it one step further.
Well,
you know,
the other thing I was getting the impression of from the film is everybody's showing up to see if V's going to keep his word.
True.
Yeah,
that also is true.
Right as everybody sees that V has kept his word, and you have no idea what they're doing. So it's entirely possible half of those people were going to burn everything else down now, and everybody else going, well, hold it.
that's the thing.
That's also the point that V makes, is that today is my last day, tomorrow belongs to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't believe it's going to happen. We'll go see if it really happens. You know, yeah, the masks are there, so we're not going to get. And it's just like now. I mean, I was thinking about this. Look at State College. Look at cameras on Beaver Avenue. You know what I mean? Just that kind of crap. Yeah, you want to wear a mask. You want to go out. You want to see if something's really going to happen. And then when it does, you're like, what the fuck? Then, yeah, so if this were to be taken any further, I think then you would see that, you know, that group. You know, and something like anarchy has been completely depleted from this sort of society anyway, so it's not something that would have been readily accessible anyway. But
I don't know if I necessarily agree with you on that.
Not being accessible?
Yeah.
Oh, I guarantee it's in your behind closed doors. You don't think?
Oh, no, I'm sure it's there.
You don't think people would have done a show like this on their own personal computer to hide under a drawer somewhere?
I don't know. But, I mean,
I'm telling you.
I understand that. I mean, it's the same kind of concept as writing the journal. Winston Smith writing the journal in 1984. But I just I guess if anything, we need to take this world and take a look at other pockets of resistance and see whether, you know, how does this all come together. And That's cool. If I can come out of a movie thinking, boy, I'd really like to expand on this universe and see what everybody else is thinking, yeah, that means I pretty much fucking liked it and get it. So.
Yeah. And by the way, if we haven't made it abundantly clear, go see this.
Go see the movie. Go see the movie.
$7.50.
Yeah.
Spend or $12.50 if you happen to be in one of the larger metropolitan areas and getting fucked by your cinema.
Well, apparently, I talked to some people online who went to one of the luxury cinemas, free popcorn, and a whole couch to themselves, and went to see this flick, and they paid $15 or something.
No, that might be worth it.
I'd pay $15 if I got a couch. Like, you just lay it out on the couch and a free popcorn.
Yeah.
And all the drinks.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Food.
$15.
That'd be good.
Do it. Oh, and on top of that, it had a bar and the whole deal.
Cool.
So,
yeah. What's our time frame, just so we know whether
we're... A lot.
We're beyond the normal arc.
Are we?
Oh, we went through twice already. We're probably an hour and a half.
Oh, well.
If not longer. So should we wrap it up?
I'm guessing we should because, well, it's a long show and we also want to eat.
Yeah, we want to get some food and
you guys
are going to see V for Vendetta again.
Yes, we're taking other people who haven't seen it. Yes, we're spreading the virus. We're taking others who have not seen it.
Well, maybe I'll tag along if that's okay.
Patton.
Anyway.
This chick in a scarlet cloak, you know. Wearing a Bob Dylan mask. Throwing used needles.
It wouldn't be funny if it wasn't true.
And on that note, folks, we're gone.
I told you I had more funny today.
Yes. Yes.
So if it's okay, maybe I'll tag along.
Oh yeah.
I'll
get Kit to go, and I'll talk her into going too. So, all right. Well.
All right, well, it's been fun, kids.
It's been great.
Hopefully, it will not be another month and a half before we get another show out.
No.
And we'd like to actually see you at the con if possible.
Yeah, if you're going
to
be at the con,
come talk to us.
Okay,
we'd love to actually have some listeners come in and actually speak their mind.
Yeah, yeah, come in and say
and
some shit.
If we actually have some kind of a phone line or something, we'll post it on a journal. And
we can go buy a track phone with a card on it and have people call it.
Yeah, there's lots of ways. We can get Skype working. I mean, there's tons of ways we can.
Because having some actual interaction with our audience would be kind of cool, other than, you know, just the text-based version that we've been having, which is cool enough.
That's awesome, too. But to actually meet some
listeners. Want to come dance or anything would be great.
Sure. All right.
And once again, I want to put that out there. I'd still like to get us some Suicide Girls.
Yeah!
Yeah, all right.
Sure.
All right, okay, Sanguinus, you got us a closing theme for today. You want to tell us what it is?
I was just suggesting that we try today Rasputina's The New Zero, because I started listening to this beginning of this last week, and pretty much every other song I've been listening to has been this song. So I figured, hey guys, here, try this. Now if it turns out y'all don't like it, well, tough.
Okay, so fire that bitch up.
All right, Rasputina and The New Zero. This is Living in Sin. See you next time.
Peace out, yo.
To take me to the ice hotel from the magazine. What we will need is a gleaming key made of ice as well, with the finest ice machine. Is there no mystic approaching jaws in the lung, the claws in your fingers? In the past when the passers by, your strange way of speaking, your battery's leaking. Oh no, oh God, no. They don't know the new zero. Oh God, no. They don't know the new zero. Uniforms worn, so lazy. The reindeer skins, the privacy. Is that
pork chop sandwiches.